Welcome to the Sister Speak True Blood podcast, where we discuss everything about the HBO series True Blood from a sister's point of view. I'm Sister J.
And I'm Sister K. And welcome to episode 3. Let's get started.
Okay.
All right. We are here on time on a Monday evening. And before we get started with our episode, let me let everyone know where you could reach us. Okay. We have a website, which is sistersinreview.com. And let me spell that because last time I don't think I did. For those who don't know us from our previous podcast, it's sisters, just like Sister Speak is spelled, sistersinreview.com. So sistersinreview.com for our website. If you'd like to email us, you can email us at sisterspeak@gmail.com. And then we also have a voicemail line, which is 972-692-7341.
And I just want to say that when you go on our website, we have a new little logo that you did for our Sister Speak True Blood. It is so cute. So I hope everybody will go on the website and actually look that up. It is just too adorable, I think.
So yeah, it's
I really like it.
Something different.
I really like it.
Okay, so Sister Jay, you want to do our recap this week?
Yep, I'm going to do the recap this week. This is episode 2, entitled Keep This Party Going. All right. So what I'm going to do, I think, is just kind of review based upon the characters. That's kind of how I like to compartmentalize it in my mind. And the episode starts with Lafayette in the dungeon. And, of course, Eric is has just finished biting up Redneck Royce. And it's really kind of like a funny scene, but it's kind of sad too, because Lafayette is all, chained up. But Eric tells Lafayette that if he has any silver on him, he better disclose it now, or, you know, reveal it now. And Lafayette says something to the effect of, I'm not that stupid. Then Eric asked Lafayette if there's blood in his hair. And Lafayette says, what? You know, it's really, really a good scene. And so Eric unlocks Lafayette, takes him upstairs and to confront or to question him. And he already said Pam's going to be real mad. Pam is kind of upset because Eric has blood in his hair. And Eric is asking Lafayette, well, tell her it wasn't my fault. Tell her it wasn't my fault. That was really good. Then Eric questions Lafayette about his vampire Eddie and getting the V blood from vampire Eddie and what happened to him. And, you know, Lafayette's trying to do some fast talking and everything, and he's telling him, you know, I admit I took the V and everything, but Eddie willingly gave it to me. You know, he was doing real great the last time I saw him. I think somebody took him. And so they question Lafayette about, well, who took him? And Lafayette says, well, I'm not sure, but I think it was Jason Stackhouse. And so immediately Eric and Pam begin speaking in a different language, and they're saying, oh, that's Suki Stackhouse's brother, and, you know, we're just going to have to wait for that. So they Lafayette, they take him back to the basement. And even though these scenes may not be all happen at the same time, but I'm just going to go ahead and say that while Lafayette is down in the dungeon, he is feeling really bad, and he looks around and he sees Redneck Royce's body parts all ripped apart. And then he remembers, hey, he had a metal hip replacement, and he sees this piece of metal in this leg and hip part of Redneck Royce. So he reaches over and, you know, he strains to get it. He gets this metal hip part from this, and it's really a nasty scene. He's digging down in it to get this metal hip part, and he uses that as a leverage to break his chains. He goes upstairs, and he is so happy because he's trying to leave. And then we know, as Lafayette is going up the stairs and trying to get out, we now know that they're in Fantasia, the club. So that becomes crystal clear. And he is almost ready to get out. But then Patsy, you know, the blonde chick that's been glamored once too many times.
Is that her name, Patsy?
Patsy. Mm-hmm. Okay. She comes around the corner holding a gun, saying, you cannot leave. They told me to... It's really funny. At first, Lafayette tries to glamour her, so to speak. He's talking all this trash to her, and she says, I'm not letting you go. They told me to be sure and watch.
Watch out for you.
Yeah, watch out for you. She said a whole bunch of words, and so then he got really mad. He says, oh, you're not going to shoot me. She shoots Lafayette in the leg.
Well, she shoots, and it ricochets off.
Right.
Yeah.
And it gets him in the leg. So he's screaming and hollering. She's screaming and hollering, and Lafayette is saying to her, why are you screaming and hollering? I'm the one that got shot. Get me some towels. And she gets these dirty towels. This is so funny. From behind the bar, and then she starts screaming. Oh, these are dirty. He says, I don't care. Give them to me anyway. So Lafayette ties up his leg. Next time we see Lafayette, he's laying on the couch in the office. Pam and Chow are pacing back and forth waiting for Eric. And Chow says, you know, he's bleeding too much. I'm hungry. Pam says, well, when you sheriff, you can make that decision. But, you know, we got to wait for Eric. Mm-hmm. So Eric comes in and he's saying, you know, sorry to keep y'all waiting. He says, okay. He says, you can have either A or B. He says, A, you can die from bleeding out, or B, we can kill you. And Lafayette's laying on the couch, and he says, I prefer option C. And Eric looks at him. You can tell, well, I'll get into that part anyway. But anyway, Eric looks at him and says, what's option C? He says, you could turn me. Oh, I love it. And he says, you know, he explains to him, look, you know, I damn near glamour people anyway. So, you know, I'm really low, do a lot of low class stuff so I can hit the ground running. That was so funny. And then he says, I will be a badass vampire, but better yet, I'll be your badass vampire. And so Eric says, I'll take it under advisement. So Eric, Pam, and Chow drop down their little vampire teeth and start chomping on Lafayette. That's the last we see of him for this scene. Now, for Jason is profiled this episode with going to the church leadership conference. And he is on the bus singing. And these scenes are really great because it is exactly like these church groups do. You know, they're singing and they're la-di-dying and everything. And he meets this man named Luke, and Luke used to be a linebacker at I think he said Texas.
A&M.
Yeah, Texas A&M. That's what he says in the film anyway. And so they become kind of friends. Well, once they get to this leadership conference, they're playing like a flag football game, you know how they do at these conferences out in the woods, you know, they kind of to break the ice and everything. Anyway, and Jason kind of outshines everybody else, including Luke. And so you could see Luke starting to get a little jealous there. And then later on, after they have a little concert by this little Christian girl, I guess, singing, then Steve Newland says, well, we're going to role play. And they want to role play so people will understand what to do when they get out there in the world with these vampires. And so Sarah Newland, the Reverend's wife, she plays the vampire sympathizer. And Jason Stackhouse is going to play just, you know, their church member. And it gets really, really intense. And she puts on these fake vampire teeth and says, I'm a vampire. And Jason Stackhouse takes the flag in the corner, breaks it in two, and is going to almost stab her with this wooden stake. But that's because he's flashbacking to when Amy killed Eddie the vampire down in the basement. So everybody starts clapping because they think that's really great. And you could kind of tell that by the way Sarah Newland is looking at Jason because he was so intense. You know, she was relieved that it was over, but she's looking at him like, ooh, you know, he's hot. Anyway, okay. For Tara, for this episode, we see Tara and Eggs in the garden at Marianne's house. And Tara is questioning Eggs Benedict as to, you know, let me know some of your background and stuff. And he eventually tells her that he's been to prison for an aggravated robbery, for an assault, and drug dealing. Well, he said drug. She asked him dealing or possession, and he wouldn't say. He just made some little funny joke. But he said that when Marianne found him, he was homeless, living under a freeway overpass. So that's what he claims anyway. And so the next time we see them is when Tara is at Merlot's and she's working and everything. And Marianne's then made the place go crazy, which we'll get into that. And he comes in and says, you know, I want to be with you. I don't want to play hard to get. And so she's feeling good about that.
Also, the part about Tara and Sookie.
Yes. While Tara's at Merlot's, Sookie comes in and she is really happy to see Tara. And they're talking. They go to the back room and talk. And Sookie is asking Tara to move in with her, because she says she's tried to move into her grand's bedroom, but she just can't bring herself to. But if she had a roommate, then that would force her to go into grand's room, and Tara could have Sookie's now bedroom. So, you know, and they get along with everything. So Tara is going, she tells Sookie that she will think about it. But when Tara introduces Sookie to Mary Ann, and they kind of, you know, talk, and Marianne says, after Sookie leaves, oh, she asked you to move in with her. Tara looked really afraid, in my opinion. She said, well, but I'm not going to do it. So, you know, that's a little hint there that I think she's a little afraid to say anything against her. But anyway, okay, Marianne. Marianne is a trip. When Marianne takes Tara to work at Merlot's, she stays to eat some food. Sam does not want her in his establishment, but, you know, he can't do anything about it. And so she orders every main course on the menu, and she eats it all too. And then later on, by the evening time, she starts dancing to some music. And when Marianne is dancing around to the music, it's like she has put everyone else in Merlot's into a trance, and they're all dancing and gyrating. And as she gets more into the dancing, all the other people get more frenzied. And even when Eggs, and that is when he comes to talk to Tara, even they start dancing. But the most revealing thing is that the people who are influenced by her, their eyes are black. There's no white part to their eyes. Their eyes are black, like they're in it's more than in a trance. Well, Sam gets very upset, and he takes Marianne to his office and confronts her and says, look, these are my people. This is my town, my establishment. I don't want you doing anything to these people. And Marianne looks at him, and she starts doing that shaking like she does. It's like a
vibrating.
And Sam shapeshifts into the dog. And then she lets him know, I can do this to you at any time. Just remember that. So if you don't want other people to know that you can shift, don't ever, ever threaten me again. Oh, it was a very, very good scene. Okay. Now, last but not least, we have Sookie. Sookie and Jessica and Bill. Okay. In this episode, Sookie is at home, and she sees a news conference of Jessica Hambry's mother and father, you know, crying about, you know, we just want our daughter back. Whoever's got her, just let her go. You know, we miss her. She's been gone too long, all that. And so that sets up Sookie to feel kind of bad. When she goes to Bill's house that evening, Jessica's there, but Bill is not. And she says Bill had to run some errands. And we'll get to that. And Bill had to run some errands. So Jessica's crying and boo-hooing because she misses her family. She saw that same news conference on TV, and she induces Sookie to drive her by the parents' house. She says, I will not get outside of the car. I just want to look at them one last time. Sookie feels sorry for her and agrees. So Sookie drives her by the her old home, and they're sitting out in the car talking, and she's okay. She's just sitting there. But then she sees her little sister in the pass by the window. So she says, my little sister, and immediately she's at the front door because, you know, vampires move real fast. And Sookie just, what? So that she's knocking on the door. When the little sister opens the door,
the mom
opens the door, of course, she's very happy to see Jessica. So Jessica introduces her to Sookie, and it's really slick how she says, well, aren't you going to invite us in? Because, you know, vampires have to be invited in. So she invites her in. And she's happy to see them, happy to see everyone. And in the meantime, the mother has told her younger sister, Eden, to call her father and say, you know, Jessica's back. The father comes in. The father hugs her really tenderly because he's so relieved. And then he holds her out by her shoulders and is shaking the crap out of her, saying, what have you done? Why didn't you let us know? You had your us worried sick, blah, 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 blah. Jessica lets him know, look, you will never be doing that to me again. And he said something about his belt. And she says, oh, we could take the belt off, but it's not going to be for me. It's going to be for you. And Jessica takes her daddy's belt, puts it around his neck, cranks his neck over, and it's going to bite him. And of course, Sookie's trying to tell her no. And she pushes Sookie way over on the wall to the floor. And right when she is almost got her teeth on her daddy's neck, Bill breaks down the front door and he orders her to stop. And of course, you know, she looks at him and he says, I'm your maker and I order you to stop. Then he has to tell them, will someone invite me in so I can, you know, take care of this? And the dad says, no, don't invite him in. He's a vampire. So he glamors Eden, the little sister, inviting him into the house. So Bill comes into the house. He tells Sookie, look what you did. This is all your fault. You need to get out of here now. And he makes Sookie leave, and we don't know what he's going to do because that particular scene ends there. So we don't know if
he's looking fierce though.
Yeah, Bill is looking really mean and really fierce, just like any other vampire, so, you know. But before Bill came there that evening, the reason why Bill was not home when Sookie first got there is because he was running errands. He was at a department store trying to buy some clothes for Jessica. And the saleswoman comes over and to try to help him. And she's saying, who are you buying clothes for? And he says, my daughter, her name's Jessica. So this woman is flirting with Bill. And when she realizes that he's a vampire, and he admits, yes, I am vampire, she says, well, why don't you follow me to the dressing room and I can model this little bitty short booty skirt for you? And he said, no, I don't think so. Then Eric comes into the department store, of course, looking for Bill. And Bill looks at Eric with his short haircut, because Pam cut his hair real short because he had all that blood in his hair. And Bill says something like, oh, you look different. And Eric said, yes, do you like it? And Bill says, oh, yes, I like it very much. The saleswoman looks at them and she went, oh, okay, yeah, I get it. You know, because she's thinking they're gay. I guess she couldn't realize, oh, well, he couldn't not want me. They're gay. But anyway,
yeah.
Eric tells Bill that the sheriff over in the Dallas County, his name is Godric, is missing. And he wants Bill's permission to take Sookie to Dallas with him to find out, you know, what happened to Godric. And of course, Bill refuses. And Eric reminds him, you know, I can just take her. Anyway, we had an agreement, but out of respect and a courtesy to you, I thought I would ask you first. And Bill still says no. Well, we know Eric's going to go do it anyway, so. So that's it in a nutshell.
That's great.
Yeah, I think that covers everybody.
Yep, that did.
Okay.
So what did you think about this episode? I actually liked it a lot.
I liked it a lot because it had a lot of Lafayette in it. It really showed Lafayette suffering, their questioning of Lafayette, but it really showed how Lafayette's character is, he just has that gift gab. You know what I mean? Because he was talking.
He's trying to save his life.
Well, but not only that, but when he was trying to get out and Patsy confronted him with that gun, he immediately started trying to put the make on her, knowing that he don't want no woman. And when she says, oh, no, they told me about you especially, you know, then he got nasty quick. You see how he got nasty quick? I mean, like on a dime. Yeah, he was sure calling her bees and everything, you know. It was really, really good.
Yeah, I like that. The whole part with Lafayette was good.
I like that.
Very good.
And as I told you from, I think, a preview or something, I am so glad, or at least I'm hoping, that they are turning him and they're not just going to, you know, drain him up.
No, they can bite him and not kill him.
That's true. But I don't want them to use him like that little Hep D boy.
Right.
That those, yeah.
Jerry.
Yeah, like Jerry. I don't want that to happen to Lafayette. No, I hope they actually turn him into
they're
a vampire.
They're going to find out that he's too valuable to them.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, if he's out loose, working for them.
I think so, too. And you know what? I have talked to several people who really like the series, and they're very upset that there's a possibility that Lafayette will be a vampire because they don't want that.
Well, I don't really want that either.
I do.
But, you know, if it's between him dying and being a vampire, him not being on the show and him being a vampire, I'd rather him be a vampire so we still get him on the show. But I don't like the idea of him being a vampire.
Ooh, I do.
So I'm hoping that they just, you know, bite him for now. Not make him a vampire, but keep him around to kind of work for them in some capacity.
I think Eric is going to make him a vampire, full blood. And I think Lafayette, like I said last time, I think he's going to be very flamboyant. Very. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, he is anyway. Well, so.
That's what I'm saying. See, he's going to be really, really out there with his rhetoric and everything. So I think it'd be great. It would be a great addition. I was really, I really enjoyed this episode because even though she didn't have a whole lot to say, but they showed more of Pam. I like her.
Yeah.
I like that character of her. And I like the fact that she follows Eric around because Bill made mention of that once before. Aren't you tired of following up his butt or you know, something once before? But Eric was concerned that she would be mad that he got blood in his hair.
Well, I think Pam and him go way, way back, even before Bill was a vampire. So they're not going to just part ways.
That's true.
You know, I do know from the book, I know you hate talking about the book.
Yes, I do.
But I'm going to talk about it anyway. I know from the book that Pam and Eric go way back. Back from when he was in Europe and was like a real Viking, quote unquote. So that's not really a spoiler or anything.
No,
we all know that he's old. He's like 1,000 years old. So they go way back.
Well, evidently this person that he made reference to that was twice as old as him, they must be real, real old. Because nowhere in this series yet, anyway. Of course, we don't have a lot of background information on Eric yet, but I did not get the idea that he was 1,000 years old.
Yeah, they mentioned that.
Not 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that must have went by me then.
They mentioned it.
Really?
I can't remember where it was mentioned now, though.
That's old.
That's old.
Yeah, because Bill's only like 140 years
right.
old. So.
Yeah. He's way old.
Yeah. So, what do you think about Marianne?
I think Marianne is interesting, and I'm not quite sure yet what her deal is, but the vibrating thing is, she doesn't do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She did it on this episode to make Sam do what she wanted him to do,
mm-hmm.
And she says that she could do that at any time. But in the past, when we've seen her do the vibrating, one, she was alone. Mm-hmm. Remember sitting in her backyard with the pig and she was doing the vibrating? And then the other time with Sam when he was young. Mm-hmm. So I still don't understand quite what the vibrating does, but I do know that she's influencing people while she's dancing. I just don't know how and what she's getting out of it.
Well, I think it goes back, for me, it goes back to the fact that she may be Pan, this god of flocks and stuff, or, you know, in human form, because when the people are dancing and they're getting more frenzied and more frenzied, their eyes are black. Their eyes are all blacked out. Right. So, and to me, that would be like godlike powers. You know what I mean? Because they were only that way because she was influencing them because she touched. And if you notice that she went around that Merlot, she was touching the people. She was physically touching. Like when she asked Andy to dance, she physically touched him. And he, okay, well, I don't dance too good, but you know. And he had just let us know that, you know, one woman called him a...
epileptic on meth.
Epileptic on meth. Right. Poor Andy is just pitiful.
So he was vowing never to dance. That's what kind of made you know that she was kind of putting a spell on people.
Well, not only that, but also the woman, when Eggs came in and the woman says...
Jane Boathouse.
Yeah. The woman says, you can talk to me. And Tara told her off. That was different for her, too.
Right.
See, so you could tell that Marianne is influencing the people that she actually is touching.
I hope
touching.
That on the next episode, they kind of give us more information about what specifically she's doing or what she wants to do. Because she doesn't want Sam's money. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want to kill him, at least not yet.
No.
So, but she's wanting something by being in that town.
And evidently... Tara senses it or something, because when Marianne made the mention, Sookie asked you to move in with her.
Well,
Tara was very nervous. It seemed to me very nervous for Marianne to think that she really might actually really move out.
Well, yeah, I think anyone would be. If you have someone who's giving you all this stuff, wouldn't it be kind of like rude to say, I just want to move out without you talking to them first?
I don't think
she wanted that mentioned right then and there, but because Sookie mentioned it in front of Marianne, you know, she was like, I don't really know what I'm going to do yet, but yeah, she did ask me.
Yeah, that's true, too.
And I think she just didn't want to be rude and hurt her feelings or anything by saying, I want to move out. But she is feeling uneasy because she knows her life has been tough. She has never gotten anything handed to her or anyone be nice to her, especially even her own mom. So she's already feeling like, okay, this is strange. A stranger, total stranger is helping me out.
Well, she's waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Right.
Like, you know, what does this person want or what am I going to have to do?
Exactly. And I think when she finds out the quote unquote good Tara, because she's kind of being good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's not really telling people off as much as she does. Mm-hmm. She's not drinking, really, anymore. Mm-hmm. I think she'll kind of come back because she's going to really hit bottom thinking that she's been used all this time. Nothing she thought was real was real. This woman was nice to her, yes. And even though she's uneasy about it, I think it'll really kind of mess her up to realize that it's all a sham.
Do you think Lafayette will go back and see Tara?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
That's going to be funny.
Because I think, you know, I think that's what Bill kind of meant when he said that young vampires are unpredictable because they haven't lived long enough to, like, lose the emotion yet or lose all of their human side yet. So I think I was talking to someone today, I think Eric, you know, in the first season, it doesn't come across as well because they haven't shown him much until now. But, you know, he's so old. Everything is boring to him. Nothing's new.
It's the same old, same old.
People are people. They're dumb. That's why he was like, yeah, you'll do something stupid. You are stupid because you're human. That's basically what he's saying. And he's bored. There's nothing new. I think Lafayette has provided him a new challenge because he just kind of looks surprised like, oh, really? Oh, okay. And I think that's why he likes Sookie. Like, she's something new. She's something different. He's never met anyone like that before. And the same with Lafayette. So I think, you know, that's where Eric is coming from. That, and I think the new vampires, Bill's relatively new, but he's still old. You know, like, but Jessica, and if they make Lafayette a vampire, I don't think they'll be that way. They'll still be human a lot. They'll still be, have a lot of human traits to them.
Mm-hmm.
They'll still want to see their family that they're missing. I'm thinking that they're still going to have feelings for those people
mm-hmm.
because they haven't had that time where they've gotten hard.
Right. Well, Jessica had negative feelings, except for her little sister.
Yeah.
But she had negative feelings toward her mother and father. So that's going to be interesting to see, you know, what Bill does. But
well, Bill's not going to kill her or anything, but he's probably going to put her on lockdown.
I think he's going to kill the dad.
I don't know.
I think he's going to chomp up the dad.
I don't know, because all he has to do is glamour them and they can forget.
Well,
so
yeah, that's
because
true.
Because that Patty or whatever her name is mm-hmm. at the Fantasia,
mm-hmm.
they've done that to her when Long Shadow was killed, mm-hmm. and she was freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
They glamored her, even though Pam was like, "Okay, she's been glamored
one too many times.
We need to quit. We might need to let her
that's
go."
That's probably why her behavior is so bizarre.
I think it is.
In this, she's just mm-hmm. screaming and screaming and screaming.
She's
and
off.
Yeah. She's mentally off.
She doesn't even know what she's screaming about. Probably.
That was
so
funny.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And the whole dynamic with Eric and Bill, I really like.
I do too.
When Eric showed up at the clothing store, I really like that whole scene.
I do too.
Bill's like, he's like, "Do you like the new me?" And Bill's like, "I do very much.
Yeah,
it's something different, you know."
I thought
and
that was great.
Just the way that Eric, or Alexander Skarsgård, who plays Eric,
mm-hmm.
the way he talks and he kind of looks down,
mm-hmm.
you know, tilts his head.
Well, he's very tall,
he's
too.
Tall, but the way he kind of tilts his head and looks at people out of the top of his eyes and
mm-hmm.
just like, you know, whatever. I just really like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great.
Yeah. He's really good, but I can definitely see the boredom part. And yeah, he did seem a little more intrigued with Lafayette.
I think so,
because mm-hmm.
he's different
mm-hmm.
than the people he sees every day.
Right.
So, yeah, I like that. Now, going on to Sookie and taking Jessica to her parents' house, yeah, I think she feels guilty.
She feels very
guilty. We also have a scene where she's trying to tell Bill she's a teenager, one,
yep.
she's a new vampire, too, so she's going to be crazy,
mm-hmm.
and you got to kind of ease up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So she felt guilty, and then she also felt like, you know, I remember being a teenage girl. Yeah, I'll take her.
Well, what really
not
did
realizing
it,
that she's a vampire, so she could have knocked her out.
Well, what really did it is when she says, "I'm sure if you told Bill exactly what you're telling me, that he would take you." And she said, "No, he wouldn't." And Sookie got to thinking,
yeah,
he wouldn't. because before they left the house, she says, "Now you can never tell Bill.
Don't tell anybody." And I mean anybody.
Yeah, especially Bill. So that was a very good scene, though, because, you know, Sookie was just trying to help.
Yeah, and the scene in the
and
car.
And she felt, yeah, that was really
was,
good.
Yeah,
she was crying.
She was like, you know, I caused all this. If I wouldn't have been, you know, if he wouldn't have killed Longshadow for me, you wouldn't be in this situation.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they had Jessica reiterate what she said, I think, in season one, that she likes. She's okay with it now.
Mm-hmm.
She just doesn't like the restrictions that Bill's putting on her.
That's what she doesn't like, but she
yeah.
likes the
she
fact
likes
that
the...
she's a vampire.
Yeah.
She has power
yeah.
and all that.
She can escape her family life.
Mm-hmm.
So I still really like that Jessica character.
I do. I like Jessica.
And okay. So this is going to be another rift in Bill and Sookie's relationship, because now Bill is upset.
He's very, very angry, so...
Which I don't blame him, but I mean, you know, hell, he left Sookie there. I mean, left the girl there.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he was just gone to the department store. It wasn't like he left her
that
overnight
girl
or something.
Left on her own and done all
no,
that.
No, she can't, because he ordered her to stay in the house.
But then she couldn't have left with Sookie then.
Well, but I think...
No, he didn't order her to
well,
stay in the house.
I think she left with Sookie because, as you pointed out, Sookie and Bill, or to her, they are together. And Sookie said, "Well, come on with me, you know."
Yeah, I don't know.
Because she told, when Sookie said, where's Bill? Well, you know, he's running errands and stuff, and he told me just to stay in the house and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what she said.
Well, Bill is upset, so I'm interested to see what goes on and how, you know, he's always trying to protect Sookie from Eric and all the vampire stuff, so let's see how that works when he's mad. That's what I want to see. So then if we go on to Jason and
Jason,
the Fellowship of the Sun Leadership Conference.
Jason is so weak. He is just...
No, you know what?
He's clueless. He's clueless.
I like this episode because it shows the Jason that we knew and loved from the first season more.
That's true.
You know, trying to fit in Jason. This Jason knows himself. I mean, this is the Jason. He knows this part. He knows how to be... Now, I mean, a little bit, he doesn't know all the songs. He's new to this church.
Right.
But when they got on the football field, that's when he really shined, because that's what he's good at.
That's what he's good at.
Yeah, he's good at being the center of attention. He's good at being a good athlete, somebody that all the girls look at. And so I liked this episode just for that, because we got the old, quote-unquote, Jason back for a little bit. Because the whiny, you know, looking for himself, Jason, I'm really not into.
Well, I mean, I didn't mind that because, you know, that just shows that he's human.
He's growing.
Yeah. He's stretching and growing, so.
The flashback part, I mean.
The flashback part was.
Why he got so upset about the vampire teeth that she put in.
Because one of the strongest number one tenets of that Fellowship of the Sun is anti-vampire. And so he's trying
that
to...
That is the tenet.
Right. But he's trying... Well, they claim they believe in other stuff. But he's trying to be a part of that. He was role-playing.
Well, yes, I understand that.
And
but
all
what
of
I'm
that.
Saying is...
But he was flashing back because he honestly, I think, genuinely liked Eddie. He was addicted to the
did.
D and all that. But he actually liked talking to Eddie.
Well, Jason's not a killer.
He's not a killer person.
A mean person, really.
No.
So that was just off character for him.
But once he broke that flag and was going to stick her, and when she put those big ass teeth in her mouth,
that was funny.
I died laughing. I thought, well, first of all, couldn't you find some better fake teeth?
Those are the ones you get at Party City.
I know. It was so silly, but I thought the reaction of Steve Newland was the most interesting one, because it's like he was transfixed. It's like he was thinking with little whirly birds in his mind, thinking, "Oh yeah, I can use him."
Yeah.
And so he started clapping,
well,
you know, to make everybody else clap.
I think when they saw the reaction of everybody when he was on the football field, you know, he knows the reaction that Jason gets, and I think that's he was already thinking about,
Yeah, we can use him.
Yeah, we can use him because people kind of gravitate towards him. He's got charisma and stuff. But like you said, even during the football game, as early as that, and then especially at the role play, Sarah Newland was giving him the little,
Oh, yeah. She's going to be trying to have an affair with him.
Something.
Yeah, yeah.
Something is
you
going
can see
to be
that
going
coming.
On with Sarah.
You can see that coming.
Now, my favorite scene in this, well, not, yeah, I think my favorite scene in the, or line in the whole episode was when Luke confronted Jason when he was brushing his teeth.
Oh, man, that was funny. Oh, that was funny.
He says, "You think you walk on water, don't you?" And Jason's like, "I'm pretty sure that was Moses. And Luke was like, "No, that was Jesus. Moses part of the Red Sea."
Yeah, I know. I mean, Jason doesn't even know your basic Bible stories.
You know? And then Luke says, "And what the hell was the deal with that American, breaking the American flag, acting like, or snapping the American flag in half like a Muslim Buffy with a dick?"
Yeah, that was good. That was
cracking
good line.
Me up. I loved it.
That was
it.
A good line. My favorite
it
line.
Was so
My favorite line from the from this episode is when Lafayette is laying on that couch, bleeding, and he's talking to Eric. And he wasn't begging or anything, but he was talking to Eric. And when he was saying, you know, "Hey, I've done so much low stuff that, you know, I can hit the ground running. Yeah. But when he said, and you know, I pretty damn near glamour people right now, you know, already. And yeah. He does. So, you know, I like that.
My other favorite line was in Merlot's when Terry was in the kitchen cooking and he's getting all overwhelmed. And Arlene came up and says, "Honey, you sweating like an ice water pitcher." Yeah. Her accent is just too much. And then she was like, Give me your tongs.
I know. Her accent is just, yeah. It's
but too I like much. I like Terry a lot.
I do too.
I hope they, you know, showcase him a little bit more on the show.
Yeah.
I really kind of like Terry.
But he is kind of shell-shocked, though.
Oh, he is.
You know, so.
That's what makes him interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He can go off at any moment.
Okay.
But this is a very good episode.
I think really good.
I like this episode better than the first.
I can't say that simply because it was so shocking to see where Lafayette was. First of all, it was a relief to know he wasn't in the car. And then, but it was so shocking to see where he was. So the premiere episode was just, you know.
The best for you.
So far, the best. But, you know, if they make Lafayette a vampire, that's going to be the best for me. Because that's what I wanted anyway. Okay. We're going to move on to our little preview spoiler section.
So, if
anyone listening, you know, you don't want to know about the previews or you didn't see the previews or whatever, then you might want to either, you know, stop the tape here or skip over this part. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. So, coming up, one of the best things I think they showed is Hoyt meets little Jessica in Merlot.
Yep.
That is so cute.
Well,
and he says something about
me. I've never met nice girls.
Nice girls. And she says, who says I'm a nice girl?
You know. She's all done up.
She looks really cute. She looks just like a little 17-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, so that's going to be really cute.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing that you mentioned, and that is that in the previews coming, they're showing Jason and Sarah Newland, they holding hands.
I know.
Just about kissing. I'm thinking, don't do it, Jason.
Well, they weren't about to kiss, but they were holding hands, and they show him praying.
Mm-hmm.
Saying he needed guidance or
mm-hmm.
something. So
yeah, wow.
Mm-hmm. He's going to go back to his ways. He cannot
That's true.
Stop his womanizing ways that quick.
Mm-hmm.
That easily.
And then Tara is asking Marianne why Sam hates her so much. And Marianne saying something to the effect that he's just trying to blame everything on everybody else. But then you see Marianne with a whole group of people, including Tara, outside dancing around a bonfire. And all them people got black eyes.
And then, yeah, and then you do see Sam trying to warn Tara about
yep.
Marianne.
Yep.
Talking about the frenzy.
Yep.
And to start paying attention and looking around.
Mm-hmm.
And then, two things I found interesting was Eric and Bill look like they're in a fight.
I know.
Or about to be in a fight mm-hmm. or something. And then you see Sookie running and some claws.
Yeah, but then Sookie runs into Fantasia and she has a gun and she got a gun pointed at Patsy.
Was that Sookie? Because I couldn't tell.
That was Sookie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She got a gun pointed at Patsy. Like
well,
she's ready to shoot her.
I
want to
know what the claws are. Where Sookie is running.
Well,
so next week is going to be, I think I know, but I'm not sure. So, of course, I'm not going to say.
You think you know what?
Just based on a storyline in the book, I think I know. But, you know, the book has, or the TV show so far has really veered so far away
from
the book that you really can't predict anything that's happening. Now.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, you really can't.
That's good.
Because everything is so different.
That's good.
Jessica's not even in the books, ever.
Yeah.
That whole storyline's not even
Well, there. I think probably Bill and Eric are going to be fighting because Eric is going to take Sookie with him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, well, he's got to because if he wants to go find out where Godric is, what better person?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Right.
Because she could read people. Oh, and that was another thing, too, that we didn't mention. When Sookie was introduced to Marianne, and she was listening into her thoughts, Marianne was saying a chant. No, that was a chant. You know how high priestess say that?
But it was in a different language.
Right. But they say that mumble jumbo when they're getting ready to cast a spell or something. That's what that was. It was a chant. It wasn't just speaking in a different language. Yeah. It was a chant. So I'm telling you, Marianne's like some goddess or something, but
not good.
Yeah, not good. So
not good at all.
Okay, well, I think that wraps up this episode for us.
I do too. Now, if y'all have any opinions or comments or disagree with anything that we mentioned, feel free to give us a call at 972-692-7341 and let us know your opinion so we can play it for everyone. Our email is sistaspeak@gmail.com. And if you'd like to go to our website, it is sistasinterview.com as well. That does it for today. I'm Sister K.
And I'm Sister J.
See you next week.